This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. And we're joined now by Princeton University professor and CNN analyst Julian Zelizer. And he is commenting about what's going on in our culture today regarding polarization. And we have lots of it. And Dr. Zelizer has written with a partner, Kevin Cruz, about the year of 1974, 45 years ago. And that was, of course, the year in which Richard Milhouse Nixon was forced from office on the ninth day of August. And, Professor, you believe that that was the catalyst for a lot of things that have happened since. Why is that the case?
It was an important year. We start our book with President Richard Nixon's resignation, which is a really traumatic event for the country, but it brings together a lot of the tensions that had been bubbling up over Vietnam, over presidential power, over the direction of our country, and then it fuels and intensifies divisions that have not been repaired ever since. So we needed a starting point for the book, but we really do think that's having a president step down in the middle of a crisis and a scandal is really an important moment for our democracy.
The book is Fault Lines, and 1974 was a year like few others. Gerald Ford took office in the aftermath of Nixon's forced departure, and a month later he pardoned President Nixon. That, in some ways, started a lot of polarization. Was it a catalyst that perhaps has resonance and relevance to what is going on today?
Well, it certainly didn't help. President Ford, his intention was to heal the nation, and the idea was the nation needed to move forward after the president, a former president, had resigned. And so he pardons him in September of 74. He goes on TV and announces that he's pardoning him for any crimes he might have committed. But the effect is the opposite. People are furious with Ford. People, protesters, have signs saying, "Jail Ford." And they argue that it was some kind of corrupt deal between him when he was appointed vice president the year before and Nixon. And sure, the lines between Democrats and Republicans, they're not made because of the pardon, but the pardon is not successful in trying to heal some of the anger that existed, and then that manifests itself in partisan politics.
Julian Zelizer is our guest. He is the author of Fault Lines, CNN analyst and professor at Princeton University, and he's written several books, including one about Wilbur Mills. I grew up in Little Rock, and I remember Wilbur Mills, who represented that area in the U.S. House and was chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, thought to be the second most powerful man on the planet when he was handling the finances of the United States. But he went down in a sex scandal, and that in some ways set the stage for a lot of scandals that came after him.
That's absolutely right. It's a famous sex scandal in 1974 that involves his relationship with a local stripper in Washington. But his scandal is one of many. There are many prominent senior Democrats who, at the same time Nixon is facing his turmoil, also go down because of sex scandals, money scandals, other kinds of corruption issues. And this is all between 1974 and 75. And we write, Mills is in this book too. And one of the cumulative effects of all of this, combined with all the outrage over the Vietnam War, is that trust in government starts to plummet. And this institution, the federal government, had been so important in American life from the 1930s, the Depression through the 60s, starts to lose a lot of its grip on the nation, and it's less of a source of commonality in this country by the end of the 1970s. So scandals like Wilbur Mills, they were interesting and colorful on their own, but they also were part of this bigger distrust that was brewing, not only over what the federal government could do, but over who our leaders were.
Julian, listener Hal in Monroe, listening online, says if Donald Trump can have his Stormy Daniels, why couldn't Wilbur Mills have his Fannie Fox?
It's a great question, and it reflects in some ways the changes that come out of that period. It was a scandal back then that this prominent member who helped write our Medicare and Medicaid program and shaped our tax code, who had been married to his high school sweetheart, was discovered in October of 74, speeding near the tidal basin with Fannie Fox, who was the stripper who I mentioned, that many years later, four decades plus, we almost don't pay attention to a story that the president had a relationship or alleged relationship with a porn star. And part of this is an effect of the period. The scandals were so severe, we never really regained the same sense of trust or confidence in our leaders. And part of that, it made us more tolerant in some ways of the personal scandals, or we noticed a lot less, ironically, because of the scandals that shocked us. We lost our innocence in some ways about who our politicians were, and that's the era in which we live.
Is there a direct line from Fannie Fox to Donna Rice and Gary Hart to Monica Lewinsky and Paula Jones and Bill Clinton to Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal and several other women who alleged that they had relationships with the president while he was married to his third wife?
Well, one of the lines, there's many lines that can connect those stories. The trust is one. Another is how the media changed. So back in the 1970s, the media was still dominated by three major television networks, a handful of city papers. There was a lot of caution about what to report, and there were many editorial standards and decisions that were made about what stories should be front and center. But that world of the media is gone. In the 80s, we see the advent of cable television. CNN goes on the air in 1980, and we have a 24-hour news cycle. We also have the rise of investigative journalism. After Watergate, reporters who believed everything should be uncovered and nothing should be kept from the public because ultimately they should be able to judge what our leaders should do. And most recently, we write about in the 2000s, the impact of the internet and social media, where all editorial filters and production controls go by the wayside. Anyone can get stories and information out there. And so the transformed world of the media makes it much harder to contain any kind of story about the relationships between leaders and women or vice versa. And at the same time, we've seen so much of it. There's been so many of these stories that you just listed that I think in some ways they're not as noticeable anymore. And we're on to different kinds of issues and scandals that trouble the country.
It is an interesting time in which we live. And a listener notes, this is Tracy at the Capitol, that Donald Trump is only the second American president among the 44 men who have held the post to be divorced. 42 of them were married only once, if at all, and only two divorcees. Reagan was divorced once. Trump has been divorced twice, so that means he, Tracy notes, has more divorces than all the presidents in the history of the country put together before him, and yet he is the darling of the religious right. How do we explain this?
Well, there's two parts of the story. The personal story is an indication of in this period we wrote about, the norms of what's acceptable and not acceptable for political leaders changed, and issues like divorce, personal relations, even drug use, just gradually fell away as litmus tests that voters insisted on for their leaders. And part of that's aftermath of the 60s, where our social norms changed, or where we became concerned about other kinds of issues. And at the same time, it's also an indication that the religious right, which is it's one of the most important movements in our book, it comes of age in the 70s, it's always been more strategic than it's thought of. It's moralistic in terms of its membership and its agenda. But when it comes to Washington, they've always been willing to make these choices. When they endorsed Ronald Reagan, who was also divorced, it was controversial. Reagan was not someone from the religious right. He wasn't really the kind of churchgoer they represented. But in the end, they saw a president who was going to represent their issues. And I think that strategic part of the religious right is really fundamental to the movement, and you're seeing it play out again. The question is, is President Trump so far away from the principles they champion? Does it expose them? Does it make them seem so hypocritical that it undermines the movement?
All right. Daniel in Goodwood writes that President Trump is the first president of the television age to be obese, and yet he is portrayed as a tough guy. He's changed a lot of norms, hasn't he?
He really has, and I think the part of the television age is really important. The fact that he is someone who understands television to be a central means of communication along with social media is pretty fundamental to understanding his leadership style. He is literally always thinking of how things look, how things play. He's not the first. Again, back to Ronald Reagan. Reagan and the Reagan administration were very thoughtful and focused on how every day would appear on television. They understood after the 60s we were totally in the age of television. And I think he has kind of shattered norms, not in understanding that television matters, but crafting so much of everything he does for that medium. But he's breaking all kinds of norms on social media as well, where in terms of his rhetoric, in terms of what he's willing to do, he's going to places we have not seen other presidents go.
Well, we thank you for joining us, Julian Zelizer, CNN analyst, professor at Princeton, author of Fault Lines, a book that is out and about as the last few days. It has hit bookstores and it is available. His co-author is Kevin Cruz. It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to another visit soon. You're very good. Thank you, Dr. Zelizer.
Thanks for having me.
We'll return with Rachel Hebert of STAR, her group, which is involved in helping people who are victims of sexual trauma, is affected by the partial government shutdown. We'll be back after this timeout.